have one of those, but I do have a sermon outline for you. If you want to go ahead and pull that out, that'd be great. And turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. I've already read some of the other passages there. Psalm 84. And then we'll look at some of the other passages as we go along. The title of the sermon is Hearts Set on Pilgrimage. So here we go. Psalm 84, beginning in verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of armies. I long and yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even a sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she places her young near your altars, Lord of armies, my King and my God. How happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. How happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a source of spring water. Even the autumn rains will cover it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. I really like this passage of Scripture. We'll dig into it, and I think you'll see some things in there that you'll like too. You know, we do. I long for God. You long for God? For you know, one day you'll be in heaven with Him, and heaven, you know, and for the people that day, they loved to go on their annual pilgrimages and the other fasts and feasts to go to Jerusalem and to go to the house of God and to worship there. Of course, at this time, you know, when the Psalms were written, they were worshiping in a tabernacle. And so they loved to go there and dwell there and spend time. It was a time of worship. It was a time of spending time with family. It was a time when they could worship God and enjoy those great... These were the high points of their year when they got to go and worship. So the psalmist here says, I long and I yearn for your courts. And then even a sparrow finds a home. A swallow, a nest for herself. Even a small little bird. God cares about even those little things like that. And so, you know, Jesus talked about the fact that are not two sold for a penny and not one of them falls to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing about it. You are of more value than that. So even the smallest bird finds a home with God. The Lord of armies, that's another way to say the Lord of hosts in the older translations in the King James Version. The Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, even the smallest sparrow finds a place to build a nest and raise young in God's house with the Lord. That just talks about, to me, a powerful and a strong God who is tenderhearted and compassionate for every creature that He has created. This is how happy are those who reside in your house, who praise you continually. How blessed are those. And then verse 5, I want you to pay particular attention to. It says, happy are the people, or blessed are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Hearts set on pilgrimage. The first thing it says about people whose hearts are set on pilgrimage is that they are blessed, that they are happy. Now, when you think of the word pilgrimage, okay, let's just pretend this is Sunday night. Sunday night, sometimes people talk back to me, okay? They give answers, all right? So, we'll pretend it's Sunday night and you can give me some answers. When you hear the word pilgrimage, what do you think of? Journey, all right? Anybody else? Walk, okay. A journey, a walk. I'm not drag this out, so... A hike, a trip, but you're going somewhere. You're going from where you are now to somewhere else. And there's a path along the way, a pilgrimage. You know, we talk about, well, Thanksgiving's coming up, so we talk about pilgrims. Who were the pilgrims? They were the ones who came over and came to this land in search of a better place, in search of a home, in search of freedom, in search of... They're looking for something else, looking for something better. And so it says, blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. I think of travel. And sometimes I don't like travel. One of my least favorite ways is to pilgrimage via airplane. I mean, you know, it gets you there quick, but it's not a whole lot of fun. I went somewhere on a train one time. I liked that pretty well. I walked a few places, liked that pretty well. Traveled by car, that can be an adventure and be good. But traveling, going from where you are to a better place. Now, you know, we are all on a pilgrimage. It says, blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. We are on a pilgrimage. We're journeying through this life. And when you're on a pilgrimage, there's a destination. There's a better place than where you are right now. And you're going to that place. You know, as a church family, as a church, we're on a pilgrimage as a church. Going from where we are to a better place, to a future that's bright, a future that is good, that is filled with God's love, where we experience it more and more. And in our individual Christian lives, we should be growing closer to God, more like God, growing in our faith. We're on a pilgrimage. All right, we're on a pilgrimage. Where you want to or not, we're really on a pilgrimage. You know, I heard a sermon one time about traveling down the highway, and I think it was like 1984 or something like that. It said, you're on highway 1984, and pretty soon you're going to turn off and get on 1985, whether you want to or not. Well, 1984, 1985, now that sounds like so long ago, doesn't it? To some of us, it sounds like, you know, for some folks who are here, you weren't even born yet. For others, you know, remember when you looked forward to that. But, you know, time keeps going. We're on a pilgrimage. Now, the other thing about this pilgrimage that we need to know about is that on this pilgrimage, we pass through some hard places. On this pilgrimage, we pass through some hard places. We have some difficult times. Happy are those people, it says, whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. That's 84:6. That's verse 6. Now, there's different translations for what that word Baca means. One of the simplest is the valley of tears. Now, it's kind of interesting because the word was very closely associated with balsam trees, and which grow in dry and arid places. So it has two pictures here. This word, the valley of Baca, draws two pictures in our mind. It draws a picture of a valley of tears, but it also draws a picture of a valley where there's no water, where it's dry, where it's arid, where it is tough, where it's hard. And I think both are fitting. There are sometimes when we go through those places where we say we are in a tough spot. We are in a hard place. You know, and the only joy we seem to find are the tears, and they're not tears of joy. They're tears of pain and suffering and heartache. We need to know that happens in life. It does. You know, and sometimes it's easier to stay where we are and say, you know, I'm not going to, here I am, and I'm stuck, and I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. So I'm just going to sit down here and just sit here. Job kind of did that once. If you read his story. But we change and we keep going. We keep growing. We keep moving. Somebody once said that change occurs when the pain of staying where you are becomes greater than the pain of growing. So change comes along and we continue to grow. We continue to move through that. We'll get to that more in just a minute. But there are so many places, there's so many times when we see folks who are struggling, see folks who are hurting. I see young families, and I see older families too. It doesn't matter, age is not a factor in this, but I see some who struggle with finances. And they're always having trouble with finances, not enough money, not be able to pay the bills, not be able to do this or be able to do that or take care of some different things. A few years ago, I was invited to dinner at someone's house. And I went into their house, and it was cold because they didn't have any heat. And they had, you know, a really nice dinner fixed. And they turned on the light in the kitchen and fixed the dinner. And then they turned on the light over the table, so we ate. And even though we were there in the house, they would only turn on one light bulb at a time because they were trying to save money on their electricity bill. Now, I like to cut lights off and, you know, don't like to leave them sitting in my house, you know. But I may have two or three on at one time. The reason they did it, because they just couldn't afford to pay their electricity bill. And, you know, but they were so kind to invite me over to come to dinner and share a meal with me. You know, folks struggle with that. Well, there are solutions. The Bible talks a lot about how to manage money, how to take care of. And I see other folks struggling with things. I see folks struggling with grief and continuing to be stuck there. So we're on a pilgrimage. Remember, there's hard places on this pilgrimage, but we're going somewhere else. We're going somewhere, so don't sit down. There's some difficulties come in life, whether we like it or not, whether we choose them or not. You can say, well, I never chose this. Well, there's a lot of things in life that we never chose, but it happens. Life happens. So we're on this pilgrimage, and we pass through some hard places. Now, the key word in that is through those hard places, through those difficult places, because we go through them. The third thing I would say today is about this pilgrimage is that when you're passing through a valley, dig a well. Does that make sense? I'll tell you. When you're passing through a desert valley, dig a well. Let's see what the passage of Scripture says. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a source of spring water. Now, if I turn to the King James Version, it says, when passing through the valley of Baca, make a well. I mean, we ought to have a shovel, you know, with us on our back here when we pass through this valley and dig a well. You know what it's talking about there? It's talking about keeping on going. It's talking about looking for the blessings of God. This is not blind optimism. This is courageous faith where a person has the courageous faith that even in the difficult places, they're going to dig out the blessings of God. They're going to dig out the blessings of God even in those difficult places. Even in those hard times, they're going to do that. I remember one time when 2009, I was going through a difficult time. I think in my life, 2009 was one of the worst years that anybody ever had. You know, it was a bad year. A lot of different things happened. Boy, and I could go on and name all those things, but wow, I don't even like to dwell on them. But it was a rough year. Right, somebody came to me at that time, and I like to say, he wasn't old, but I like to say he was kind of like an old country preacher, right? And he gave me some advice, and I remember what he said. He said, when you come through this, and you will come through it, don't wallow in it, but come on through it and leave a wide path so that whoever's falling behind you can come too. Does that make sense? Is that good advice? Yeah, that's like digging the well in the middle of the desert. When you're going through the desert and there's nothing to do, you know, dig a well. David, the psalmist, another psalmist, didn't write this psalm, but he wrote the 23rd psalm and said, yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God is still with us. So dig a well. Why are we going to dig a well when there's no water? Well, we keep going. You know, we keep going. Make it a valley of springs. They're digging out blessings out of the hardships of life. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to take a fellow home after church. And I hadn't really got to know him a whole lot. And he was kind of new to our church family. And I took him home, gave him a ride. And on the way home, he was talking to me about problems that he had. But he didn't call them problems. He said, I want to tell you about the blessings of cancer. He had cancer. He said, but the cancer, he said, taught him to depend upon God. And the cancer focused his life where it needed to be focused. And the cancer was a struggle for him, but it helped him spiritually. So the whole way, and it wasn't far, it took me about 10 minutes, well, probably about 15 or 20, because you know how traffic is on Sunday. But the whole, he talked about the blessing of cancer, that God is doing something even through that difficult thing. So dig a well. Why? Dig a well. Don't just sit there. But you're going to come through it, but dig a well. See, let's look at this passage. Let's keep going. They make it a source of spring water. They dig a well. Because the next part of this verse, the last part of verse 6 says, even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. Even the autumn rain will cover it with blessings. You see, dig a well and have confidence in God. Have confidence in God. Whatever you're going through, it's a season. It's not going to last forever. It may seem like it's going to last forever. It may last for a long time. But it is a season. And even in that, have confidence in God while on the journey. You see, the autumn rains are coming. It says the autumn rains will cover it with blessings. So they're digging a well, knowing that the autumn rains are coming, and they're going to fill that, and there'll be pools of water all around wherever they've dug a well. Now, I dug a little deeper in this, and I don't know if you know this or not, but in the Hebrew language, they had vowels. They wrote in consonants and vowels, and the vowels were added later, but when they wrote, they just wrote the consonants. You know, you could probably figure out a word if I left out all the vowels, you know, from context and stuff. That's the way they wrote. The word for pool and the word for blessing, if you take out the vowels, they have the same consonants. They are the same word. You know, that reminds me of the song we sing, Showers of Blessing. You know, the showers of blessings, the pools are blessings. God's blessings that he provides. And you know, when you look and you see the times, you know, the weather in Israel, the weather for the psalmist here is a lot like our weather. When I moved here to California, I was kind of weirded out because I moved and got here on, you know, 1st of July. And it didn't rain in July. And it didn't rain in August, and it didn't rain in September, and I'm from the South. If it goes 3 weeks without rain, everybody's worried. You know, we're in a drought. It hadn't rained in 3 weeks. Now it was 3 months. It hadn't even rained here, but then it came in October, and it started raining, and it rained October, November, December, January, February, March, and then it stopped. And I thought, this is really weird. All the hills and all the grass is green in December. And it's brown in June. Just the opposite. Well, the weather in the Holy Land is about like that. There's two seasons. There's the rainy season and there's the dry season. And they're in the dry season. But the autumn rains are coming. So dig a well. Have confidence in God while on this journey. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said that the light and momentary afflictions that we suffer right now are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is ours in the future. So have confidence in God while we're on the journey. You know, I like to hike. And I like to take pictures when I hike. And there's a few places where I like to hike and all you can see is just a dirt and a trail. Right, I like to take pictures of the mountaintops and pictures of the river and pictures of this and pictures of that. And the other day I was out hiking and I was going along this beautiful ridge. And I had climbed and climbed and climbed and climbed, it seemed like forever, a couple of miles. And then I got there and I said, oh, there's a bench up there. I see a bench. I said, all right. And a beautiful view. I said, oh, perfect place for a bench. I wonder who in the world lugged it up here. But I get there. And on that bench, of all things, there was a Bible verse. It said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I sat down right on that bench, and I made a few pictures, and I drank some water, and I took my shoes off and readjusted and got those pebbles out of the that were bugging me. And you know, when I left, I was refreshed. Still had a long way to go. But I was, you know, even in the middle of that, God is with us. So have confidence in God even while we're on the journey. Verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Each appears before God in Zion. Another song that just reminds this reminds me of is, we're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We're marching to Zion. And we're going to get there. We're going to get there. And God's with us each step of the way. So, you know, blessed are those whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. I don't want to stay where I am. I want to grow. I want to continue this journey. I hope you do too. We're on a pilgrimage. We pass through some hard places on this pilgrimage. But when we pass through those hard places, dig a well, because the blessings are coming. Dig those blessings out. God's still with us each and every day. Have confidence in God on that journey. Dear Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that the something that we've said or something from the passage of Scripture today would give everybody here some hope and some confidence in you. Lord, help us to realize that when we're struggling, you are there. Help us to reach out to a brother or a sister. Help us to dig a well so that we can say, here I am. Lord, I don't want to stay here. But thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you provide right here. And Lord, we move on. We move on. We don't want to wallow in it, Lord. We want to move on. Lord, thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. We're going to have our hymn of invitation, our time of commitment. This is a time for you. This is a time for you to do several things. Number one, you can come and ask for prayer. If you just want to come and say, Pastor, would you please pray for me? I'll pray for you. This is a time for you to make decisions. If you need to become a part of our church family, you feel like the Lord is leading you to become part of our church family, we'll be glad to have you come and let me know. If you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't done that, that's the most important decision you could ever make. Then come and we can talk about that. Just come. And I know it's hard to come. With everybody standing and singing, come down front. You know, we don't like to stand out in crowds sometimes. I know that's hard. I'm going to give you another way to do it. That little card, you can mark on there your decision for Christ and put it in the offering. Or, even better yet, you could give it to me at the end of the service and say, Pastor, I don't like to come down front, but I would like to be a member of the church, or I would like to accept Christ as my Savior. And that's okay too. Whatever you need to do to make that commitment for Christ, you do it. And we'll stand and sing our hymn of commitment.